The Canaanite woman in today's gospel was obviously a very feisty lady, because she was very persistent in her petition, and you have to admire her courage. You know, here there was great animosity between the Jews and the Canaanites, and they really didn't have much to do with each other. So here she was entering into an area where it would have been very, very uncomfortable. But she had great need. Her daughter needed healing. And it was also a very patriarchal society. And so for her as a woman to enter into this conversation with Jesus, she was also crossing a line here. But she wasn't going to be stopped. And she, because of her great love for her daughter and what she had heard about Jesus, she comes with this petition for healing. And Jesus' own disciples seem to be kind of impatient. They're saying, you know, please ask her to leave. And Jesus doesn't do that. But his response to her, it may come across to us as very demeaning and rude. And what's going on here? Some scripture scholars say that Jesus may have been testing her a little bit, because, as you know, Jesus' fame grew and healings and miracles. Many, many, many people were drawn to him with a lot of different requests. And sometimes people were probably looking for a quick miracle, a move on, quick healing. And Jesus was always most concerned about the soul, and that whatever he did for people, that it would lead to a deeper conversion in God. So she's persistent. And Jesus, he lifts up one of the great affirmations in all of the New Testament. And here it is directed toward a Canaanite person. And Jesus' Jewish contemporaries probably would have been scandalized by this. As he commends her, he says, "Woman, you have great faith." And a healing takes place. Let me draw out a few things from this gospel here. You know, one would be the importance of persistence, perseverance, and prayer, which she obviously had. Jesus, in another gospel, said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open." He encourages us to lift up our petitions to God. Maybe you've had the experience along the way of wondering, why doesn't God respond to my prayers more quickly? Or does God even hear them? And it might be something really coming from our heart, a great need. And we need to know that even if we don't get what we want, when we want it, how we want it, that there's a grace that God always gives us with every prayer. And so at one level, God always responds to every prayer. And that is the grace for a deeper union, a deeper friendship with him. And that's ultimately what we need mostly, is that deeper union with the Lord, which happens in our prayer. But if you find that you're growing discouraged because there's something going on in your life where, boy, I keep lifting up this petition, doesn't seem like there's anyone there, just to know our God is a faithful God, a provident God. He's in our corner, and he's going to give us what we need. And as we mature in prayer, in our relationship with him, more and more the Lord's prayer will be, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." We lift up those prayers, and then we put those in God's hands. But just to know that God, he's with us, he doesn't forget us, and he will respond as we need. Secondly, and I'd like to make a few connections in light of some significant things going on in our country and in our world. It's very interesting in this gospel that it's a Canaanite person who is the hero. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? They were also considered foreigners, kind of outside of God's saving reach. But Jesus lifted the Samaritan up as the hero. Jesus came for all people. And our God desires the salvation of all. We have a lot to say in that equation, and we have to be open to that grace and respond to it in an affirmative way. But really, God's will is that all would be saved. But he's not going to force anyone in that direction. And it's a wide embrace. As you see with the Canaanite woman, that Jesus' saving embrace is very wide. And we even heard in that Old Testament reading that God's house is a house of prayer for all peoples. And in our world, sadly, there is a lot of brokenness. And we've heard a lot this past week about all the issues coming out of Charlottesville, Virginia, with a march with many different groups of white supremacists, and kind of the evil of racism was lifted up in really kind of an appalling way. And that's really a virus that is still alive and well in our world. And what fuels that type of ideology or that outlook where others are demeaned because of their color or their ethnic heritage? Where does that come from? It really is a toxin that can get inside of people and pollute their vision, and to see others as less than, and it can even lead to violence. And we've also heard a lot of what took place in Barcelona this week, where terrorists running down innocent people. What fuels that type of hatred, that type of violence? And again, it's an ideology where, because of another person's religion or their race or their ethnicity, that they're of no value and can even be extinguished. I mean, that is a great evil. And as Catholics, we believe that every person is created in the image and likeness of God, is an image bearer of God. There's an inherent dignity and value and worth to every human life. That's really God's vision. But sadly, in our world, it's not everyone's vision. And that's where you can see so much behavior that really goes counter to that. But I think as Christians, we're called to live out of those values and to really foster those. And there's probably very few people on the face of the earth who are totally prejudice free. I mean, there's lots of prejudice. It could be, you know, race, it could be ethnicity, it could be religion. And I've been on the receiving end of some anti-Catholic sentiments, and maybe you've experienced that as well along the way. But I think the Lord challenges us to be something very different, that if all are created in the image and likeness of God, you know, we really need to follow the example of Jesus and that wide embrace, a vision that is really Christ-like. If I could share a little story with you. Last spring, down at the school, it was at the end of a class period, and it was down at the school, and the kids were going to be changing classrooms. I was outside of the doorway of one of the third grade classes. And there's a young third grader. He's of Nigerian descent. And in the class, they must have been talking about studying some American history, Emancipation Proclamation, slavery issue, Abraham Lincoln. And because and this boy is very outgoing and a wonderful young boy. And when I was standing there, he said, you know, if it wasn't for Abraham Lincoln, I don't think I would be able to go to school here because of, you know, the color of my skin. And I thought, wow, this little boy's making some connections here. And because even in our own country at one time, there was widespread institutional racism. I mean, even Jim Crow laws, they lasted well into the last century. And we really need to stand up to a different vision. And it can impact anyone. And we know in God's view, it doesn't matter if we're black, white, brown, yellow, whatever, red, whatever our skin color or race, whatever our ethnicity, that you know, God's love is for all his children. And for each one of us here, what a challenge that is to live out of that vision. We need God's help to do it. You know, when you think about the afterlife, I mean, is heaven going to be a place where there's different sections for those who are white, those who are black, those who are brown, this language group, that language group? I don't think so. I think that's probably a good image of hell, but not heaven. And I really have no difficulty at all with the doctrine of purgatory, because we all need some purification, don't we? And because some of those prejudicial toxins can get inside of all of us and taint our vision. And we need the purifying grace that comes from God to really see the dignity, the value, and worth of every human life from the time in the womb all the way to the end of life. And our world certainly needs that. So I think the Lord counts on us as his people. And as we hear that exhortation to persist persevere in prayer. Let's ask God for the grace that we may continue to be transformed, that our vision becomes Christ's vision, that our hearts become more and more Christ-like, our actions. Our world needs that, because there's another force in our world that is very powerful and very evil, and that is all about division and separation and conflict. Let us ask the Lord for that grace to be about His work and to bring the light of Christ into the world that's too often darkened by things like racism and ethnic hatred and religious hatred, that we can be Christ's presence in our world, a healing presence.